The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Anyway, this will be the last, obviously, lecture of this retreat. And what I'll be talking about, and I know I haven't actually gone through carefully through the texts of Bodhidharma, so those who are trying more to explain, you know, kind of just like today, I'll read a little bit of what Bodhidharma said about really the defilements and how training is converting them, but I'm not going. I'll then talk more about the defilements and really Bodhidharma did, rather than go through the whole text, which gets, which is interesting, but not probably as helpful as just concentrating on the key points. Anyway, from the Discourse on Pure Meditation, Bodhidharma goes, "Know, therefore, all that good takes enlightenment to be its root and relies on this root of enlightenment. Consider it to manifest as a tree of all meritorious spiritual qualities, and then, by relying on it, the fruit of nirvana will fully ripen. In this way, meditation can indeed be described as a thorough comprehension of what the mind really is." And by saying the root of enlightenment, what he's saying actually, instead of looking at it as enlightenment as an experience, look at it more as enlightenment as what reality is and getting in touch with what is real. From a Buddhist point of view, all our suffering actually, all of the defilements, greed, hate, and delusion or ignorance, they all are rooted in ignorance in that we're not seeing what is real. If we're seeing what's real, choosing, as Bodhidharma puts it, the poisons of the defilements would be seen as poison and we wouldn't take them. It would be like touching a hot stove. You're not being enlightened when you touch a hot stove and think, whoa, I don't want to leave my hand there. But if you actually don't, due to karma, we actually often don't feel the pain of the hot stove for a long time. You know, the same way as an alcoholic often can drink for quite a while and not even realize he's hurting himself. He thinks this is just a good way of unwinding at the end of the day. And they're not an alcoholic, they just enjoy drinking. And at some point they realize they're actually sort of like their hands on a hot stove. They're, you know, burning themselves with the fire of the suffering that this is causing. So Eka says, "You have just stated that all meritorious spiritual qualities of the Buddha nature, which are that which is, depend on enlightenment as their root. But I wonder what could be the root of all the evil done by the mind when it is blinded by ignorance." Bodhidharma replies, "Although the mind of ignorance has 84,000 passions and cravings which defile it, and as well as evils as immeasurable and unbounded as the sands of the Ganges, ultimately all depend on the three poisons, which are greed, hate, and delusion, and have them as their root and source. These three fundamental poisonous impulses of themselves are able to encompass all evil." And all evil is actually coming out of basically desire, what we want, our ill will at not getting what we want, and our delusion and thinking that's what we need. And, you know, that's all the suffering is. Now here's Taiso Eko. "Bodhisattvas and Mahasattvas have realized Buddhahood by keeping to the three pure precepts and the six paramitas. You would now have trainees only persist in pure meditation without training themselves in the precepts and other spiritual practices. So how will they realize Buddhahood?" So what Taiso Eka is really asking is, why is he saying it's enough to meditate? And he's not putting the emphasis on the precepts or on the paramitas of generosity, compassion, you know, vigilance, and all the other paramitas. And Bodhidharma kind of replies, it is the three pure precepts combined that control the three poisonous impulses. Thus he's really saying that by being mindful, we're actually seeing the arising of the defilements by how they break the precepts. Actually, if they don't break any precepts, they actually aren't defilements. So the precepts are these warning signs that we're actually breaking, you know, that we're going off the path and actually, you know, kind of living defiled passions. And controlling these three poisonous impulses is immeasurably good. It is by using the precepts combined that one is able to control the three poisons and produce immeasurable good effects. They are called the three pure precepts combined because they are brought together by the mind under all circumstances. Paramita is a Sanskrit word which in Chinese we speak of as that reaches to the other shore. That this is because the paramita is put into operation. The six sensory faculties, and they're talking in Buddhism when they talk about the six sensory faculties, they're talking about the five senses and our thoughts, our consciousness, which is considered like the sixth sense, the fact that we're aware of the senses. And actually, we're actually aware of thinking, which often obscures the other senses because we can be lost in thought and not be hearing, feeling, touching. That's because when the paramitas are put into operation, the six sensitive faculties are immaculate and unstained by the worldly dust, namely form, sound, odors, tastes, objects, and mental thoughts. In this way, they bring beings out of the river of defiling passions and to reach the shore of enlightenment, and thus are called the six paramitas. And I'll now talk a little, switch a little bit to talking about just bringing this into our own tradition. It's like something which you, all of you know quite well is every evening we chant the Litany of the Great Compassionate One. And I always like, all is defilement, defilement, earth, earth. And actually what that means is that if you're not seeing the truth, you look at your life, yourself, and everything, and it's actually quite easily to see there doesn't seem to be anything outside these defilements. I mean, what am I outside my desires, my opinions, my passions, the stuff I don't want, and the fact that I seem to be thick as a block when they talk about enlightenment and the truth. I don't see the truth. I just see my desires. I see my fear. And I just feel bound by that. So it's all is defilement, defilement, earth, earth. Do the work within my heart. You know, how can I cleanse my heart? How can I stop being bothered by this, craving that? You know, how could I have all this junk flowing through me? Which is often what it seems like. You know, it's like, I don't want all this stuff. How do I get rid, you know, oh, great victor, I hold on, hold on. Tundra, creator, I cry. Move, move my defilement-free one. Because we actually don't, we realize we're being bound by these three poisons, but we don't seem to know, we don't know how to get rid of it. Because actually it's not, we don't know how to get rid of it. You know, you actually don't know how to purify your heart in the sense of, oh, I'm angry. How do I stop being angry? I have this desire. How do I stop thinking I really need this? I'm afraid. How do I realize I won't be hurt? You know, and we actually have to open our hearts and ask for help with the defilements. And then move my defilement, free one, defilement, free one. Come, hear, a joy springs up in me. Speak, give me direction. Awakened, I have awakened. And really, you know, the great compassionate one is simply somebody realizing they're bound by defilements, asking for help and being awakened, and realizing they're now free, you know. And that's all what we need. Okay. As Bodhidharma put it, the three poisons are kind of what makes the world. And it's how we approach them, though, that's kind of key in Buddhist training. Much of the time we're viewing things through these eyes of good and bad, awful and what we want. I want to be good. I don't want to be bad. I want to be kind. I don't want to be selfish. And I want to be, you know, grateful. I don't want to be, you know, angry. And, you know, Reverend Master Jiyu had a nice line I always like. Every morning I have a cup of coffee with Mara. And really, Mara is all the things are really our defilements. They're that which pulls us off the way. And Reverend Master, having coffee is you have to recognize, God, I have these fears, these desires, these passions, this stuff. Instead of thinking, God, how do I get rid of it? You have to think, okay, in a way, these are what need help. Training is actually helping this, the defilements. So instead of thinking, God, this is awful stuff, you have to show kindness to it. You know, it's not help to get upset that you're angry. Realize, if you're angry, it just means something in you feels threatened, hurt, upset, etc. You know, if you feel like you need something, something in you feels empty and feels like it needs something. You know, if you're afraid, you feel, God, I'm threatened. What's going to happen to me? And you have to have kindness to that and trust that if you get to know them, they'll start dissolving, transforming. And you get to know them by just seeing through them, that there's nothing there, because they're actually ignorance. Since there's nothing to fear, fear can vanish when you see that. If there's something you can really hold, then the desire has something to fix on it. Once you see you can't hold something, much of the desire disappears. You know, and they all start vanishing when we can, you know, see that. And you know, and it's, and in a way, one of the ways we kind of free ourselves of the defilements is going back to a Bodhidharma. The root of the truth is enlightenment, is the way things are. And part of it is seeing them in a way as visitors that we're making welcome. We're not asking them to hang around. We're not clinging to them. But when they're there, we're just seeing them as something passing through, thus the arising of fear, the arising of desire, the arising of ignorance isn't the problem. It's when we actually take them to be ourselves, rather than something that's just passing through, that we're witnessing, and we're trying to help. And it converts a lot of karma when you realize this is what you're trying to help, rather than what you're trying to avoid, you know. And because it seems almost counterintuitive, something we're not conditioned to do, to feel it's okay to feel anger, okay to feel fear, okay to feel the fact that we hate something. And it takes a lot of faith and patience just to be willing to let it be there, just to see it. And faith to welcome it, to make it feel the compassion that actually will help it to dissolve. Because in Buddhism, really, it's the litany of the great compassionate one, points which would have been a teaching Bodhidharma would have known well, you know, that scripture. It would have won. It's one of the ones that every Mahayana tradition, every Zen tradition, all use that. It's that heart of compassion that can have compassion for the fear, compassion for the anger, compassion for the ignorance, and just realize all it means is we're looking the wrong way. All defilement just means we're looking the wrong way to be happy. You know, it's not a big deal. You know, somebody who's angry is just trying to make themselves happy in a way that doesn't work. Somebody's afraid, they think they can really lose something, and that's kind of scary. You know, if you think you are this, then it gets frightening if something threatens it. You know, and you know, and everyone's problems can seem so real and overwhelming. We all have different defilements, different things. We think, I can't put up with this. Or another way you can have in spiritual life, I can't change this. I'm fixed in this way. I have this problem, this attitude of mind. I am this anger or this desire or this fear, this inadequacy. And I desperately need this or that. And one of the problems is we can look at our life, our history, and just see, yes, this is what I've always been. And we project the past into the future. It's like, I could never let go of this. And of course, then I project a future in which I can't let go of this. I've always been this way. And that's one of the things we're lugging around, is all this karma, all these patterns, all this way of looking at things. And yet the nice thing about training is actually, on one level, all those details aren't important. They're all just looking the wrong way. You know, when the lines are from Master Ji, you so like using, which we've never found where it came from. Man stands in his shadow and wonder why it is dark. Only he can turn around, or she can turn around. You know, we're just looking the wrong way and wondering why it's dark. You know, kind of looking at ourselves as a mess and not seeing that none of that is real. You know, just like I can remember, I used to always go up at, when Ramesh, you would have, and actually other people too, have the ceremonies where you ask a question at the ceremony. And I think I always ask the question, I'm a mess, what do I do? You know, in one form or other, which is common. Most of us keep asking the same questions when you really listen to the ceremonies. And Ramesh used to just kind of tell me, don't worry about it, just keep going. And I, in a way, I wanted more than that. I felt like, you know, well, the answer was just to keep going. There was nothing there. You know, there was nothing, no obstacle, no barrier. I was just looking in a way down at my karma and getting entranced by my defilements. You know, lost in the defiled dreams and just thinking, God, this is all I know. This is me. You know, and at times having trouble maintaining hope. And it's a matter of just taking refuge in the Dharma. There's nothing special there. The defilements aren't real. They're not our real desire. Guarantee it. No matter how much you think you are those things, that's not true. It's, you're really dreaming of desires that will vanish when you wake up. It's not what you want. And you know, just like we can believe we should be upset, we need this, we should be afraid of that, you know, that we should fear old age, fear death. You know, even talking to some people this week, even fear came up, fear about how to die, how we can die, almost like, again, whatever it is, it's just a passing, Whether we do well or bad, it's still just like a dream. You know, we don't have to worry if we make a mistake. You know, look at all your past mistakes and triumphs. Right now, in a way, they all are like dreams, just memories of them. You know, and angers and ill will's not real, it's just frustrated desire. Desire is actually just thinking we need stuff. Delusion is a way, the way we justify all of this. And sometimes we have to kind of start looking and see how the defilements, you know, just how, like how we spin deluded tales, what we're telling ourselves. You know, see what it is that we're really explaining to ourselves. And you can actually see it often really makes no sense when you start breaking it down. You know, kind of. A good example of it is frequently we would never tell what we tell ourselves to anybody else if they asked us for advice. You know, it's like if I make a mistake, I realize I'm telling myself something very different than what I would tell somebody else who made the mistake, because I wouldn't be that uncompassionate to them, you know, that critical of somebody else. But I'll feel like, oh, it's okay for me to do it to me because I'm an idiot. You know, that's fine. And one thing, if you've been hanging on to something like a lot of these habits for a very long time, indulging in any of these patterns of desire, fear, aversion, it creates a momentum that we experience. You know, a real energy, habit energy. This is what happens. Just like I know if I make a mistake, I can pick up all this energy of how I respond to this from these patterns that are there. You know, something good happens, something bad happens. And one of the things we experience as suffering is that when we try to sit still, we experience the momentum of these habits of how we respond to things and feel when we hit these situations. And it's hard to sit still. It's like suddenly we're being swept up in blame. Suddenly we're being swept up in aversion. And it's very hard to sit still with all that stuff because it's uncomfortable. You know, it feels like it's throwing us off. And the momentum, it's like the momentum of the clinging and the delusion kind of creates its own reality. This is me, I can't cope with this, I am this, this is what the problem is. And that's why, you know, just to deal with the defilements, it takes great patience, just the willingness to put up with all these strong feelings. We have to trust that. We don't have to get rid of anything. All we have to do is put up with it and try to be still and let it dissolve. Of course, in a way, the goal of Buddhist practice is to realize, in a way, we don't have to react to all this stuff. You know, the Buddha under the Bodhi tree, earth witness my resolve, I will not be moved. Our heart never needs to move. It allows everything in and out, but it's not moving. It's not going anywhere. It's anchored in what is real. And freedom in Buddhism is realizing this and just seeing and knowing, as Bodhidharma say, the root of the tree is this knowledge, enlightenment. You know, when we have to have faith in that knowledge and apply that faith to all our delusion, we could say, but I haven't experienced it deeply enough. You've all experienced these truths on some level or other because you can see the emptiness of the defilements at times. And you use the... And it's important because when like fear comes up, let's say, and you witness the fear, it means you're actually going against the desire that I don't want to feel this. You know, I don't want to feel this anger. I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to feel this. And it takes it's one of the reasons it's hard. This practice isn't easy. You know, nobody likes to feel the defilements. You know, we're conditioned not to. But you can use anger to see a Dharma teaching. Why are you angry? Pride to see what makes you pride. Despair to see what makes you think things are hopeless. And there's a line, you know, from the Buddha, liberate yourself by examining and analyzing with a meditative and mindful mind. You liberate yourself by just seeing what's going on here. And that which sees what's going on isn't being bound by what's going on. That which sees fear doesn't have to be isn't afraid. When you're really afraid, you're at one with the fear. All of reality is a fear. It fills you. You feel like there's nothing outside of it. Same thing as when you're really, really angry. You don't even know you're angry. Anger is just all of reality. A big step is when you notice you're angry. That which notices it isn't being bound by it. You feel like you can be bound by it because you're, you know, it's almost like, sometimes I feel like it's like picking up a small child having a temper tantrum. You know, it's like screaming its head off. And you ever notice how a small child, when it suffers, it sounds like there's never been greater suffering since the dawn of time. It's like, you know, this is as bad as suffering can get. And the nice thing about a small child is transience. It can go from the deepest suffering since the dawn of time to a laughter that fills everything, all within seconds. You know, it's like... But on the other hand, it's experiencing it in a way. It's at one with its suffering, and then it's at one with its joy. And it hasn't really looked to see what's going on yet, because that's not the nature of a toddler. You know, and there's some lines I thought I like using from Shanti Dev or those. Those who are tormented by the power of anger will never know the tranquility of a peaceful heart and mind. Strangers to every joy and pleasure, sleep deserts them. They have difficulty resting. You know, and you can realize how much by just allowing anger or some of the other defilements in, how much suffering you're creating. You're thinking it's coming from the outside, but it's coming from you. You're the one who's angry. You're the one who's worried. You're the one who's afraid. You know, and then Shanti Deva, anger, lust, worry, these enemies of mine are handless, footless, lacking any faculties. They have no courage or intelligence. How have they made me their slave? Use me to do their bidding. And you have to kind of think, and I like that a lot. How come they're driving us around? We don't want them. How come they're controlling us, made these slave? Yet when you really think you've been hurt, you feel like a slave to it. When somebody feels threatened, you know, you become a slave to it. And Shanti Deva, I welcome them within my heart, allowing them to hurt me at their pleasure. And I suffer all this without resentment. Thus my misplace an unworthy use of patience. You know, we're having patience with them coming in, but we don't have patience with them controlling us. You know, that's a misuse of patience to say, almost like, and people will do it. I, and You know, it's like people won't even see defilements as themselves. I remember my mother used to like saying, "I'm a warrior." You know, that's just who I am. I'm a warrior. Other people have told me, "Well, I get angry." You know, almost like it's something that's built into them. You know, or I lack this virtue. I'm not patient. I'm not kind enough. I'm not generous. Without realizing they're all choices. You know, and again, Shanti Deva, the lifespan of my foes, these defiled emotions, is never ending and has no beginning. Oh, my enemy, defiled passions, my endless and beginningless companion. And from a Buddhist point of view, this is what makes samsara. Let go, everything's the Buddha. But we actually think we really need something. And in a way, that keeps the wheel of samsara turning in our hearts, making suffering in our lives, and making us not find what is real. And and one thing it's good to notice about training is that one of the reasons it can be hard to do the practice is by sitting still, you're not necessarily, the first step isn't getting rid of the defilements, it's revealing them. So usually when people, I remember when I began practice, I thought I wasn't doing too bad. And then after practicing a while, I thought I was a complete mess. You know, because I actually took a lot of it for, didn't take responsibility. It's almost like saying, all these problems aren't really coming from me, they're just the way I am. And as I practiced, I realized, no, actually, I can change all of that. You know, and actually I'm choosing these things to kind of be, I'm choosing this desire, I'm choosing this delusion, I'm choosing to be proud or inadequate. And then it was I felt a little overwhelmed. I thought, God, you know, this is a mountain of karma. And then you realize the defilements, you don't have to be carrying it around. The mound isn't there. It's like you have a 100-pound backpack, but you actually aren't, since you're not going anywhere. You don't really have to be wearing it. You know, you can just leave it there and just deal with the stuff. You don't have to be carrying all your problems, everything else around with you. You can just, you know, kind of go, okay, this is the piece that's there, but you don't have to carry. It's like carrying all your failures around, which you can do. Like, God, I've made this mess, that mess, this problem. And you can carry it around and it can weigh you down. Same way somebody's suffering can weigh them down. You know, I remember hearing somebody who, when he entered the concentration camp, his wife and children were put to death. And he realized that if he chose to carry that around, he was going to basically burn in hell. And he said, I realized I had to let go of it and just love and not allow that to weigh me down. And when they liberated the camp, the allies kind of looked at everybody and thought, this is the only person in the whole camp who looked normal. And they tried to figure out what was going on. How come it was one normal looking person? You know, and he explained, you know, how he got through the years of being in the camp. And in a way, what he did is he decided, he chose to realize if he carried that around with him, you know, he had to let it go. It still, I'm sure, hurt, but he didn't have to close his heart to things or just fixate on it. Like, if I stop thinking about it the way we can with grief, where you can feel guilty if you're not feeling bad. You know, it's like I have to carry around my suffering. I have to keep whipping myself. I have to kind of keep feeling the loss. You You know, and here's another line I like from Shantideva. The hostile multitudes are as vast as space. What chance is there that they will all be subdued? Let but this angry mind be subdued and converted, and every foe is defeated and destroyed. You know, which, you know, if we convert our minds, the whole world will convert. You know, if we don't convert our whole minds, the whole world will be this dark, dismal place. You know, when somebody looks at the world cynically, they can see a world where everybody is out for number one, is being selfish, greedy, etc. They look another way, they just see everyone as, you know, doing their best and having trouble. And if you understand the defilements, you actually open your heart to compassion for everyone else, because the deluded way of looking at things is, you know, is that somehow they vary in different, you know, there's some fundamental difference between all of us, rather than just realizing everyone is dealing with greed, hate, and delusion in different forms. And it's all the same stuff. Fear is fear, desire is desire, anger is anger, hate is hate. And what mostly we're all doing is we're judging other people because they have a little more of it than we do, or a lot more than we do, but it's the same stuff. It's like I can get angry, but I don't get as angry as they do. I'm selfish, but I'm the kind of selfishness where it's not a problem, while their selfishness is a problem. And of course somebody's looking at me and thinking my selfishness is a problem, and my delusion is a problem. And you realize with compassion it's the same stuff. Everyone's dealing with the same stuff. Everyone has the same defilements. You know, from, you know, people deeply on the path to enlightenment, well, they're still dealing with defilements, or they'd be at Buddhahood. You know, that means they're still dealing with the fact that, you know, it's like somebody, I did a similar class at the Priory and somebody quoted very nicely. Somebody asked the Dalai Lama, do you get angry? He said, oh yes, I get angry. I just try to let go of it very quickly. You know, it's the same defilement. And he didn't say that I do let go of it very quickly. He tries to let go of it very quickly because he's training. And you realize, and you want to help other beings with their defilements. And just realize that there's nothing there. It's just people looking the wrong way. You know, a thief is just somebody who thinks they need something. You know, somebody's angry is somebody who's not getting what they want and finding it really hard. You know, if anybody, you know, finds what they want, they don't look outside for it. You know, they're not worried, they're not afraid. So you, whenever fear arises, you realize, oh, this is a delusion I need to help. And if somebody else has it, well, that's a delusion I need to help. You know, that's a desire that needs to find its own way home to what the real desire is, rather than thinking, oh, this is really what I need. You know, it's like one Buddhist teacher put it nicely, there's no pizza and ice cream in nirvana. I mean, there could be, but it's not like that's what you're looking for. You know, because that's actually not the thing that makes us happy. Anyway, I think I probably talked long enough for this retreat, talked about this. So anyway, it was very nice being here and being able to give the talks. We'll still have a discussion tonight for those who, you know, and it's good to think of what, you know, whatever it is that still isn't clear. And the nice thing about Buddhism is that if you can see things clearly, it's one thing to remember, everything will dissolve. There's no problem. Nothing's going on. Nothing really matters. If you let go, the way opens, you know, and it's such a nice, simple teaching to apply, and hard. Anyway. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha.